Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, if you will. Please open your Bibles to Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. God's grace teaches. It teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. It teaches us to be sober and righteous and godly. Sober is the right attitude towards self. Righteous suggests the right attitude toward our fellow man. Godly tells us about a right attitude toward God. What is sobriety, though? It's having self-control. The word used today, some use the word drunk, and then on the other side of it is sober. Some use it for some who have just gone a little crazy for that day. They have suspended responsibility and go out and do things perhaps that they shouldn't do. On the other side of that is sober. Self-control is the idea that where God has delivered us a message, that we control ourselves with those edicts. It's having the right attitude toward ourselves. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Turn with me there, please. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. For I say, to the grace that was given me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but so to think as to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to each man a measure of faith. Self-control, even in our thoughts, we think of ourselves as we ought to think, not as something superior to someone else, or as something more beautiful or more lovely than someone else, but as we ought to think, preferring others before ourselves. When we act soberly, when we exercise self-control, we control our minds. Why should we control our minds? 1 Peter 1 and verse 13 tells us that this is something that we must do. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your minds. Be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I want to point your attention to that gird up the loins of your minds. Now, if you have something besides the King James, it probably says prepare yourself or be prepared or something like that. But the picture it gives here is, I think, is so much more. When you're talking about preparing your minds, what do? A soldier gets ready for battle. He needs to get the material that is going to trip him up out of the way. And so he ties it up in such a way that his loins are girded up and everything is out of the way. He can run quickly, unencumbered. I guess the picture that I see most often in my mind of girding up your loins is from I Love Lucy, of all places. That particular episode where she goes to stomp grapes. Maybe you've seen it, maybe you haven't. She's stomping grapes, is getting ready to, and she reaches between her legs and pulls the skirt and pokes it in at her waist to where everything is out of the way. Now she's ready to go stomp grapes. Girding up the loins of your mind is preparing yourself to be sober, to be righteous, to be godly, to be prepared to do the will of God. It's something that we have to do. How do you prepare yourself? You study the Bible, knowing what God wants. You apply the Bible, doing what God says. And finally, you're rewarded for these things. We control our minds to love God, to prepare. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How do we prepare our minds? Gird up the loins of our minds. We make a decision. So many think that love is something that we simply feel. Let's not. In fact, if you think upon it really hard, there are a lot of people in your life that you love because you've made a decision to. Sometimes we clash with people. We clash with our children, clash with our parents. Next door neighbor, we can't stand them. But when something happens, there's an emergency, and we need to do something for them, it all just, all that rancor and everything else goes out of the window because we have decided to love our fellow man. God says something in his word that we don't like. We'll make a decision. We're going to obey God anyway, whether we understand it or think he's gone too far. We simply make the decision to love God with all of our hearts, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. A decision to be made. It's not that we feel. We can, it's part of it, but we've decided. We control our minds when we decide to be sober and righteous. We decide to battle sin and Satan. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that is that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the disobedience of Christ. I've never been in battle. But I've done some things kind of like battle. I've been in a street fight. I have been on a football team. I have been in gym class where we were involved in what they called military basketball. I don't know if you've ever done that, but there's no dribbling. You just plow through whatever opposition there is and put the ball in the hole. And if you get a bloody nose, well, you just get a bloody nose. But one thing I do know in all the opposition that I've had in the past is that you have to make a decision. Go forward. Go forward or run. That's the only two things that you can do. Stand there and get pulverized, run, or go forward. These are some things that you have to do to control your mind. Sobriety, being sober, righteous, godly, it's a decision. You decide, that's what I'm going to do. And you screw down your courage, and you go forward. So we use our minds in this way. They are spiritual weapons to cast down wrong thoughts. That's the defensive use of our mind. We use our spiritual weapons to bring into captivity every other thought to be obedient to Christ. An offensive use of our mind. We decide. How do we control our minds? We control our minds by thinking on right things. I know that sometimes it seems our minds go in various directions. We can't control them, but that's not biblical. The Bible tells us that we can control. It just takes practice. You've got to work on it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You don't have to allow your mind to wander through life. You can tell it what it needs to do and think. How do we control our minds? We control our minds by thinking on right things. How do you get inspired in the Word of God? Well, you go to passages like Psalm 23. Talks about our, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that He is with us and will provide for us. We go to passages such as when David was standing against Goliath, and before that, he's talking to his brothers who are chiding him for being involved in the battle in any way. And he says, is there not a cause? We read those things. We read the prophets of old who showed us what courage really was. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no, we will not bow down to that golden image. The king said, you're going to go in the furnace. You know, that burning, fiery furnace. You know how the Bible is usually, it's usually quiet. That is, it uses very few superlatives. But in this case, he said, not furnace, not just burning furnace, but burning, fiery furnace. That thing was hot. And it should have scared anybody. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no, our God is able, even if He decides not to save us, we will not bow down. You go to passages such as what Jesus told the Father that very night when the sins of the world were laid upon Him, that not His will, but Thy will be done. Controlling your thoughts is going to the Scriptures, going to the Word. You go to the passages such as where the apostles are sent back from the Sanhedrin having been beaten. And they thank God for the opportunity to be persecuted. And they prayed and the place was shaken. That's how minds are changed. That's how courage is gained. You go forward. You make a decision. They did that as an example to me. And now I'm going to go forward. We correctly use our minds if we're going to be sober. We also correctly use our bodies. We must use it in the service of the Lord. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Grow up in this pagan society quite often, humanist at least. People tell us that your body's yours to do with it as you will. That's not the biblical view, however. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. If you're going to be sober, righteous, and godly in this present world, the use of your body must be tempered by the Word of God. We must not abuse our bodies with earthly pleasures. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Think about some things that go against the body. I know that there are many arguments about these things, but I don't know how that you can argue that you can take illicit drugs and not be violating your body. It tears you up inside, and it makes your influence where no one will believe or follow you. Marijuana, cocaine, LSD, morphine, many things that are used for recreational purposes, these are things that should not be done. I object to drugs for the following reasons. They're costly. Oh, yes. They cost you more than just money. But if it was just money, that would be enough. You're to be a good steward of what God has given you. But it'll take your reputation. It'll take your job. It'll take your family. These are things that have been proven. They take away time that you could use for the Lord, and they damage your body. They take control of the mind. They're addictive. They're addictive to the point where that's all you have the thought to do is to go get more. We also note that our bodies are to be correctly used in the sense that we are not to use them for illicit sexual activity. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 5. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 through 5. For this is the will of God. Imagine it, you're a young Christian. All the Christians around you are young too, about 6 weeks to 6 months old. And you're hearing from the apostle that converted you, and he's writing back to you, and you hear this phrase, "This is the will of God." I stress that because I want your attention, just as the apostle Paul did. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Abstain from fornication. You know, in this culture, at least as long as I've been alive, and perhaps longer, that we flirt with fornication. Sometimes we get as close to it as we can without going over. But many times we're afflicted with temptation, and we go past the point we ought not go. When the Bible says, abstain from fornication, we also see in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, rather than getting up close and personal and seeing how far we can go without going over the line, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18 says, flee fornication. Now, consider that word, flee. In Carrizo Springs, Texas, we had a problem with dogs. They would get loose from their owners, and they would start to band up. And they would get aggressive sometimes. So what can you do to get away from dogs? Flee. Now, think about that, dogs behind you, and how hard you're running. You're trying to get away, trying to find a fence to get over. You're trying any way you can to find a door to get into rather than have to deal with those dogs. Just want you to feel the pressure. Flee fornication. Wonder how many dances have been gone to where people have flirted with fornication rather than running from it. How many have been caught up in the back seat of a car because they thought, well, we can handle this once, when they should be fleeing fornication? If we're going to be sober in this world, in control, we've got to treat our bodies with respect. God says no. Doesn't matter if we say yes. God has already said no. This includes homosexuality. There, I said it. People get angry about that. At the Southwest Church of Christ in Austin, Texas, the man who puts up the sign, just like Terry does, put up something from the Old Testament about a man not lying with mankind. And they burned down that sign. Yes, you can get in trouble with people for saying anything. Oh, I'm a hater now. I'm afraid of them. I'm a homophobe. But that's what the book says. That's what we have to teach. If you're going to be sober in this world, if you're going to be righteous and godly, you have to respect that. Respect that God says no. Romans chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Romans chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. The Apostle Paul, writing to the saints at Rome, it's like he's looking outside and picking up the newspaper off the stoop and opening it up and seeing the sins of mankind. It's just like he's opening up today's newspaper. Go to the newspaper of New York or Washington or Houston and Chicago look at the dastardly deeds that have been done in the last 24 hours. And you see, it's not any different today than it was then. But what he concludes here, he says, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly." And I might point out, it's not just being unseemly to people around us. This is unseemly to God.